Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 16th, 5:27 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed to lower this morning. May corn futures down 1 at 4:30 and a half. May soybeans down 3 at 11:55 and a quarter. May Chicago wheat down 2.5 at 549 and a half. May Kansas City wheat down 2.25 at 581 and three quarters. May spring wheat up 5 cents at 642. Let's start off with this blockbuster crush report from yesterday.
So NOPA released March crush data yesterday. NOPA members processed 196.4 million bushels of soybeans in March, the largest crush on record for any month. The crush was up 5.5% from February and up 5.7% compared to March of last year. End of month soybean oil stocks in March increased to 1.9 billion pounds. Pre-report estimates projected stocks at 1.8 billion pounds. Stocks were up 9.5% from the end of February and were the largest end of month supply since May.
This is great. We've been told for months and months and months that we're going to continue to crush soybeans at a record pace, and that is exactly what we're doing. Best print for any month on record, a little bit below expectations, but a couple million bushels is not a make or break. The soybean oil stocks situation is interesting. We've seen a big increase in soybean oil stocks, and as far as how soybean oil stocks relate to, say, the last 5 years, we're about average because we've seen this big increase. So that would imply perhaps that maybe the renewables industry is not using as much soybean oil as maybe some people had projected, or perhaps the crush is just outpacing what needs to be produced. We're only selling renewable diesel into three states. It's California, Oregon, and Washington, I believe. And we need to see that expanded. And I think it is going to expand. I think the future of this is still very bright. In the meantime, the soybean oil market, a lot of people thought we were going to be short of soybean oil. We're going to run out of soybean oil. That's not happening right now. But the crush stuff is very good. And that portion of the demand base for soybeans is excellent. Exports is a whole different story. But this is one positive, absolutely.
U.S. corn planting is slightly ahead of schedule. The crop was 6% planted nationally as of Sunday, compared to 5% on average and 3% the prior week. The trade had expected a number near 7%. Progress was noted in Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, Minnesota, and areas further south. States that reported no planting include Colorado, Michigan, North Dakota, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Soybean planting was reported at 3% complete nationally versus 1% on average. The trade had expected a print near 2% for soybeans.
Shout out to the state of Missouri. Farmers in Missouri have planted 26% of the state's corn crop versus only 10% on average. They've planted 8% of the soybean crop versus 1% on average. Arkansas, way out in front of the normal pace for soybean planting, 26% done versus 8% on average. I don't really see much here that's bullish or bearish. It's we're planting corn and soybeans as we typically do this time of year. We do have some weather that may cause some issues for some people. There's rain on the radar in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, parts of Kansas this morning. The forecast is wet-ish for some of these areas. If you zoom in on the Corn Belt or the Midwest for the next 5 days, it looks like your heaviest amounts will be western Iowa, eastern Nebraska, southeast South Dakota, parts of Minnesota, a little bit of northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, a little bit of Missouri. Now, the rain, of course, especially in Iowa, they'll take the rain in Iowa. It's drought-stricken. It's dry. They need it. Maybe they would have rather had it 2 or 3 weeks from now after they wrap things up. But I think in any case, they'll take the rains, certainly. If you look at the 10-day, it's pretty wet for a lot of areas. The eastern Corn Belt might be a little bit slower. I know it had been wet in a lot of areas, and they've got some more rain coming. What about winter wheat?
So as of Sunday, the crop was rated 55% good to excellent nationally versus 56% last week and 46% on average. The rating was in line with analysts' expectations and the best for this time of year since 2020. Only 13% of the crop is rated poor to very poor. The crop is 11% headed nationally versus 6% last week and 7% on average. The U.S. spring wheat crop is 7% planted versus 3% last week and 6% on average.
Spring wheat market is independently higher this morning. I don't know if that's because of these rains across the northern plains that could cause some issues, perhaps. I don't know. I pulled this map, which is the next 10 days for Kansas and surrounding areas. So your HRW wheat areas, it's dry. I think there were some overnight storms, but they were very much isolated. Maybe some of that's still going on into this morning. But the central and western part of Kansas, the eastern part of Colorado, North Texas, and western Oklahoma, it's going to be pretty dry. So there is a potential issue here as it relates to the HRW crop. You wouldn't know it by looking at the markets, but maybe that's something that the market decides to pay attention to at some point in time.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you sure need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about the video you put together yesterday?
I talked about 2024 year-to-date commodity performance. I had charts of like every exchange traded commodity. And a lot of commodities, believe it or not, are acting really well this year. The grains, the stuff that we track, corn, soybeans, wheat, are among the worst performers in 2024. Aside from natural gas, I think corn, soybeans, and wheat were the worst. I had a PDF download with all the charts, tried to kind of maybe paint some optimistic views of why the grain markets could join the party. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Our morning email goes out every single business day at 5 a.m. Central Time. We've got a video coming out today with Pete Meyer. We're going to talk a lot about renewables and biofuels, among other things. Remember, guys, this is the best way to support what we're doing here. We have no sponsors. We have no corporate backing. Everything we do is made possible by the premium subs. If you guys are busy, which I know a lot of you are, you can sign up on your phone. It takes about a minute and is an absolute piece of cake. So check that deal out this morning, guys.
Some major banks are anticipating an increase in interest rates. According to the Union Bank of Switzerland, the Federal Reserve is more likely to raise rates than lower them. Due to the strong U.S. economy and persistent inflation, the bank is projecting that the Fed could resume raising rates early next year, with rates climbing as high as 6.5%. If rates do increase, UBS projects that equities could decline by 10 to 15%. The bank originally estimated rates would be cut by 2.75% this year, but has now reduced its projection to just 0.5%.
Starting to see more of this, banks talking about higher interest rates. While the bank's base case is for two rate cuts this year, UBS now sees a growing possibility that inflation fails to decline to the Fed's targets, spurring a pivot back to hikes and sparking a deeper sell-off in bonds and stocks. So I guess they believe that, yeah, this year you may get your two cuts or whatever, but that bigger picture, we could rise to 6.5%. We had Jamie Dimon out, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago talking 8%. UBS is talking 6.5% Fed funds, which is all very possible. There's a lot of implications and problems with this, though. I think the statistic is that if they leave rates unchanged or hike marginally, the interest expense on the national debt will become the largest line item in the U.S. budget above Social Security. So there's issues with raising rates. Like, they probably do need to raise rates if the inflation doesn't back off and back off quickly. But there are some problems with that. And you're starting to see talk, and I believe you're going to see more talk about higher rates. They're talking stock market correction. We're already, I don't know if I'd say we're in correction mode, but we may be getting to that point. Stock market has not acted well since that most recent CPI report, which I believe was last week.
U.S. corn shipments declined last week. USDA reported that 52 million bushels of corn were inspected for export during the week ending April 11th. The print was down 7.7% from the previous week, but up 7.6% compared to the same week last year. Soybean shipments were reported at 16 million bushels, down 12% versus the prior week and down 18% compared to the same week last year. Wheat shipments surpassed pre-report estimates at 20 million bushels and were up 6.7% from the previous week and up 99% versus the same week last year.
The wheat number was good. We'd like to see some more of that here the next 6 weeks before the end of the marketing year. Corn number is about where it needs to be to hit USDA's target. Soybean number probably about the same. You may make an argument that the U.S. export window is going to close and that maybe we don't hit the targets, but I don't see anything overly exciting here.
We did have a flash sale of corn on Monday. U.S. exporters sold 6 million bushels of corn to Mexico. Of the total, 5 million bushels are for delivery during the current marketing year, and 1 million bushels is for delivery during the next marketing year.
Mexico, I had a chart and I can't find it. Mexico is head and shoulders above everybody else when it comes to corn commitments out of the United States this year. We've sold, I think, almost 19 million tons of corn to Mexico, and Japan would be the second best at less than 8 million. China's only got like 2 million on the books. So Mexico has been our most reliable and best buyer. Japan is a distant second. So hope we see some more of that. And you're going to start to see new crop corn and soybean sales across the wires here as the months go on. Usually April, May is kind of when that stuff gets started. What did cattle do yesterday?
Cattle markets, they had a pretty good day yesterday. Feeders were an average of 351 higher. Live cattle were an average of $1.86 higher. Box beef was mostly lower. Choice ended the day at $300.88. That was up 31 cents. Select ended the day at $291.34. That was down 420.
U.S. dollar is about flat this morning. Stocks are mixed, but got beat up pretty bad yesterday. Bonds a little bit lower. Crude oil is down 27 cents, and the May WTI at 85.14. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.